Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Doug Carson. That's Scott Anderson. Thank you, Brendan Shabath, for the update. Kang's behind the glass. Kenny's on phones. Evan's running the website. And the Valeni crew is coming and starting to prepare for theirs. I saw David bouncing around out there. Jimmy Power's in charge. We got engineers doing real man's work behind us. There's power tools and ladders out.
Jimmy, I don't think Jimmy's happy right now.
Why is that?
Well, I exited the studio.
Yep.
And was immediately greeted with the wonderful smell and aroma of onions.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's lunchtime. So I'm like, who got the onions? And Evan's like, I'm your boy right here.
Okay.
So Evan got some kind of sandwich that had onions. And you know, Jimmy's got that policy that...
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy's got the policy where if he goes to pick up food for anybody, that there are no onions allowed. Because he thinks it'll stink up his car, even if it's wrapped up in a burrito.
If he is picking up any takeout orders for anyone here at the station, which he has offered to do,
mm-hmm.
for like people who are on the air, no onions.
No onions. That's his policy. So knowing that's his policy, and when you walk out and you're hit with a wall of onions, it makes me smile. Two reasons, because A, I love onions, and two, I know it's going to piss off the boss. And he did not seem happy about that.
No, well, but you like pissing off the boss?
Well, I didn't do it.
You like that the boss was pissed?
I mean, I didn't do anything to do it, but I can laugh at the misery
okay.
that comes with
Well, he's on your list. Jimmy's on the list because of the policy.
Well, it's the policy.
Things that Gator strongly dislikes.
Yeah. But seeing how happy Evan was to claim that he was the one that had the onions.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
All right. So Dan Campbell joined the morning show today. We like to bring you the best of what he has. First, there's the news. Okay. Let's go over the news that we aren't playing the soundbite. The idea of moving Tate Ratledge, the rookie, to center is something that is they're not really considering. So he just wants him to focus on guard right now. And so... But he did say that before practice started, he said he was literally sitting at his desk thinking of different O-line configurations to try and get the best group out there. So it's not completely, moving Tate Ratledge apparently to center is not amongst the moves they're considering.
No, and the only reason I brought that up the other day was because the idea that they could trade for Kevin Zeitler, who is a right guard, specifically right guard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the reason that Glasgow moved to left guard last season. That was just my thought that, okay, well, Tate Ratledge is right guard. So what would you do? Would it be best if you had Zeitler at right guard and then have Glasgow at left guard, then you put Tate Ratledge at center? Would that be best?
Yeah. Well, apparently Ratledge to center isn't really, he does take some snaps in practice, but there have been no conversations about Frank Ragnow coming back. He did say that Ragnow talked to Taylor Decker in October and that Ragnow was doing great and said he felt great because he doesn't have to squat 400 pounds or whatever and said he's got my number, but there's been no discussions.
Yeah, and his wife just had another kid.
Yep.
So he's enjoying life right now. He's retired.
On the injury front, Kirby Joseph has taken a little bit longer than they expected. He's still uncomfortable, and they don't want to put him out there while he's uncomfortable. But Penny and Decker are a little bit more positive than they first thought. So that is good news. Because that offensive line, it feels like they are they're a big cause for stress amongst the Detroit Lions fans. All right, so here we go. With the problems they were having in the interior of the offensive line and some of the youth, they asked him, are you limited in what you guys could do offensively on Sunday? And here's what he said. Okay, so a couple things out of this. One is when he says things we can get to a little quicker. That sounds to me like, oh, we've got play calls that would have worked. We didn't use them. We could have used them earlier in the game and maybe should have used it. That's my interpretation of that. Two is cross dog or pick stunts. So obviously, guys, the pass rushers are crisscrossing at the line of scrimmage.
We need to change the verbiage of our NFL questions. I think we need to include cross dog.
You want through the wide nine Omaha four down around cross dog?
Blitz thingy? Yeah.
God, you love all dogs.
Red dog. Yeah.
Anyway.
You don't want a cross dog.
Well, what I out of the Green Bay game, and look, Jared Goff said this was different than Green Bay. I was a good question for him, right? Was this just like the Green Bay game? Because up front, they struggled mightily up front against Green Bay. Hasn't really been a major issue. They've been much better since then until this past Sunday. It hasn't been a well-oiled machine all the time, but this past Sunday was disturbing as well. You know, they've identified the problem. The first game one, it was communication. This time it was obviously they struggle with twists and stunts and cross dog. But once they know what the problem is, at least they can address it. More from Dan Campbell. How much are you a part of trade discussions? Do you get that involved? Here's what the Lions coach said. Okay, we did play a soundbite for you earlier where you mentioned that any offensive lineman that could help them, they'd be into. They haven't made a trade yet. I suspect they're trading for an offensive lineman today. I'm not going to car house. I'm not going to shoot the boot guarantee it, but.
Well, I'll say this. I think they need to. Whether Brad Holmes gets it done, I don't know. I suspect he will. I can't imagine that we're going to go a trade deadline with an obvious need to this team that they're not going to address. It wouldn't hurt if they added another defensive back. I know they're getting some guys back. They expect to get guys back soon, but I mean, it looks like Kirby Joseph might be out for this week again at safety. And so he's banged up. Is he going to be constantly banged up? You know, Branch has left some games at times as well. And of course he had the suspension, but they're going to get some guys back. Maddox is coming back, I think. But I still think they could add another piece there. Now, you don't want to give up all your draft capital just to satisfy something at the trade deadline. You mentioned they have seven right. picks. You got to be smart with that. It'd be great if you could do one-stop shopping and find one team that's got two for the price of one. And, okay, maybe it'll cost you a third-round pick instead of giving up a fourth and a fifth or whatever. But you do what you got to do. And I think it's clear that this team needs to add an offensive lineman.
All right, more from Dan Campbell coming up, including, is there pressure to keep up with other teams? Like Philly has made some trades. Do you feel the pressure to keep up with Philly? Hear what the Detroit Lions head coach had to say. That is coming up today at 12:18, plus your phone calls and feedback. And at 12:30, a Tarek Skubal trade proposal from a Major League Baseball insider. Would you be happy with this return? That is at 12:30. Carson Anderson, 97.1. I'm looking at feedback here. There's a lot of hostility coming in towards Brad Holmes today. because there's a lot of people thinking he's not going to, quote, do anything. And I think a lot of the people think that he didn't, quote, do anything last year, even though he traded for arguably the best edge rusher that was traded trade deadline time when they needed an edge rusher. You know, it's funny. I was listening to Adam Schefter's podcast late last week, and they were previewing the weekend. And Schefter says the Detroit Lions have become the model franchise. This is the franchise of how you want to run. Draft, develop, sign. And he was talking about the Aiden Hutchinson contract. I swear to God, we've taken Fire Brad Holmes feedback today. And I'm like, Fire Brad Holmes. Now, just because Adam Schefter says it doesn't mean it's a fact, but it if you look at just an ounce of perspective of the other 31 organizations and the way people look at the way our organization is being run, if Brad Holmes got fired today, do you think there would be, think there might be some people interested?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. But the thought is ridiculous. So.
Yep. 248-539-9797. Back to your phone calls in a moment. We promise more from Dan Campbell. All right, so Philly's made some trades. Do you feel a sense of urgency to keep up with the Joneses, if you will, and match other NFC contenders? Here's what Dan Campbell said.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there's this feeling, I know some people, and maybe a follow-up here, and I'm not, those guys have limited time, is, do you ever, I bet he'd say no, though, make a trade to play defense. Like, wait, Hendrickson's going to Minnesota? Okay, what was the offer, and can we top that? Right? Because that would be something, you wouldn't want Trey Hendrickson in Minnesota. Did they have an opportunity to play defense with a Micah Parsons trade? I mean, did they say, wait, what's the asking price? Never mind. Or, I think that's how fans think. I don't know if that's how organizations
think.
Right.
No, I understand his point. They're not trying to keep up with anybody. They're doing their own thing. And in a salary cap world, and it's different. It's not like, and it was a fun time when you get to the trade deadline in the NHL in the late 90s. When the Red Wings and Avalanche, it seemed like they were just dueling each other to see who was going to get the better players mm-hmm. at the trade deadline. But it's a totally different game. It's a way different game in hockey now, for sure. But it's different in the NFL.
All right, final thing from Dan Campbell from this morning. The topic of a number three wide receiver came up and how important that role has been on third downs in the past. In specific, obviously, Tim Patrick was the guy. Here's what Dan Campbell had to say about the third wide receiver. This is Tesla.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Played three snaps last week. Tesla, if you didn't catch that at the beginning, I mentioned it was Tesla. Sorry about that. Wasn't a great lead in by me.
Sorry. It's an interesting 3 week span here. In 3 weeks, he's gone from saying we need to get Montgomery more touches to we got to get J-Mo more touches. And now it's Tesla's got to get more plays.
Yeah.
It's interesting. That he's singling out a different player each week. Well, I don't know if he's being asked specifically. I guess in some cases asked specifically about certain players, but would he say the same thing about anybody?
So here's the thing about it is he made the point, and you've made this point, and he echoed this. They need more plays. By not converting third downs, drives are stalling. And so that long menu of we're going to run all this stuff, well, we just ran three plays, and we didn't get to any of the rest of it because we're punting. Now, we just ran three more plays, and we didn't get any of the rest of it because we're punting. I think they had five. Was it five, three, and outs in the game against Minnesota?
Pretty sure it was. I was going to say at least four.
And then maybe the David Montgomery fumble was on a 3rd and 12 where they ran it, and like, oh, my God, he's going to get the first. Oh, no, he fumbled. So by not turning the chains over, you're not running as many plays, and you had the data last week about how much they were trending below previous years. I mean, they've had some score quicklies. Score quicklies are great, but it does take back down on touches.
I think Goff has had only two games this year where he's thrown the ball more than 30 times, and they're both in losses.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, and I said it yesterday, just be careful about trying to call plays to prove something or to get somebody involved. Just call the plays to win the game. If Tesla, on a given day, his skill set helps you win the game, great. If not, don't force him. And no. Same thing with J-Mo and same thing with David Montgomery.
But when you're talking about just, it doesn't have to be a play called for him, but just get him on the field more. That I understand because he was only on the field for three plays. And I imagine things change depending on circumstances, down a distance and all that. But I would have always thought since they drafted him that Tesla could be a real nice answer in the red zone as a receiving option because he is tall, because he can jump, and because he catches everything that's thrown to him with one hand or two hands. I think he's a real interesting option to have there with that size and speed combo.
248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to D in Detroit. You're on 97.1. Hi, D.
DK, Gator, Kane, fellas, what's going on?
How you doing, sir?
Hey, man. No. Hey, bro. Oh. I'm trying to win some of that $800 million,
Come on, man.
I figure if I spend a hot 50, I know my chances might not be that great, but, bro, if you don't play, you ain't got no chance to win, bro.
You can't win if you don't play.
But, man, that sounds good, though. $800 million. Hey, I am willing to split it with three other people in three other states if I have to. I don't need it all.
Yeah, no. You know okay. Yeah.
I don't need it all, bro. But, hey, check this out. Can I talk basketball real quick?
Yeah.
Because you know the Pistons are on a roll.
Of course.
And even the Red Wings got me surprised. I don't believe it. I know when March comes, they're going to fall off. I hope I'm wrong. But back to the Pistons, what do my man Jalen Duren have to do to get a contract extension? I mean, I know the man don't shoot threes, but other than that, what is the holdup?
Well, they're waiting until the end of the season. They still have all the power in this. I mean, they're not going to let him go. I don't think they're going to let him
walk. I think he's going to get his extension.
He'll get an extension, but they can do it at the end of the season.
Okay, so it's no rush, huh?
I don't think there's any rush, and I don't think they have any intention of letting him walk. I think they like him a lot.
Pistons have outscored other teams in the restricted area near the basket by 16.3 points per game. It's the second highest margin in the NBA, and a lot of it has to do with your rim protector and the guy that can score near the basket, Jalen Duren.
And guess what? Beef Stew is that rim protector blocking after dunk after dunk. Them two are a great combo. But you know what? My biggest fear, fellas, is Duncan Robinson going to be too streaky of a shooter for us, bro. K can lead the league in assists if he gets this outside shoot, no doubt. And I just hope Malik Beasley somehow, some way, get back on this team. I really do, because I'm worried about my man Duncan Robinson. I know Caris LeVert not a big-time three-point shooter, and that's what we need. Love to show us always, fellas, and give me some of that $800 million, fellas.
Well, good luck to you, D. Gator, if you win, will you take care of D? We probably shouldn't do that, because everybody's going to call up. We got a lot of great listeners, and I shouldn't be... Actually, it's not my money. I don't care. Will you pay some of our listeners, Gator, if you win the $800 million?
Not really.
No. I would.
Yeah, you would.
I don't play, but...
Maybe have a party of some kind. Listeners invite.
Like a station? Invite only?
Yeah.
There are some people out there I wouldn't mind meeting.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Figure them out.
Figure them out. Nice.
I think if D won, he would extend Jalen Duren with the money.
I think he might pay it all himself.
I think he would do it with the money, yeah.
But he did bring up something. Isaiah Stewart's having a heck of a season so far to start off, and had a big game last night, had four more blocks last night. He's tied for second in the league, averaging almost 2.5 blocks a game. Look, it's seven games. I got it. It's early. But at 5-2, the Pistons finally got off to a good start last night. They were the ones that scored 30, not the opposition. And they were able to hang on in the end and win game number 5. This one on the road, good. They're going to return to action, what is it, tomorrow night, I think, against Utah. So I like how they're playing. They're playing fun basketball. When you see Duren playing above the rim as much as he does, that's just fun to watch.
No, he's a great pick-and-roll guy, go to the rim.
And Kay totally took over last night in the fourth quarter, 19 points in the fourth quarter.
That's what we expect from him if he wants to continue being an all-NBA player, right? I was one who really was disappointed, the Pistons didn't offer Duren the contract extension, you know, and they want to see it play out. I guess we all understand why Ivy didn't get the extension. But Jalen Duren, I think they'll still keep him. Obviously, they can still keep him. They didn't have to just do it. That's the only way to keep him. But he's showing right now early in the season he's worth bringing back. And Stewart, Doug, he does something you love. He's not afraid to get embarrassed. That's why he leads the league in blocks at the rim, because he goes up there and he challenges everyone that gets to the rim. He doesn't care if he's going to get dunked on or not. And more times than not, he's not getting dunked on. And it's all, he doesn't have this unbelievable leaping ability. He's got great timing. And that's what blocking shots is a lot about.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of a player who's not afraid to get embarrassed. And finally, I thought I'd been very polite in asking them to have better first quarters, because last night was the first time one of the first quarters wasn't one of their worst defensive quarters of the year. It happened again against the Rockets. They gave up 33 in the first, which meant in each of their first six games, their worst quarter defensively was the first quarter. And they also happened to be the six worst quarters they had all year. Last night, they actually won the first quarter and only gave up, I think, 25 points. Is that what it was?
Speaking of the Pistons, 25. Malik Beasley said something on Snapchat today.
Oh, yeah?
Said, quote, "I personally can't talk to the Pistons. My agent can. Team-wise, there's no official offer yet because NBA hasn't cleared us yet. It's most likely that if I do go back to the NBA, it's going to be with the Pistons."
Wow. Beasley just said that today?
Yeah. Snapchat.
Interesting.
Snapface.
All right. Straight ahead, MLB Insider. Here you go, D, by the way. Your boy Beasley. MLB Insider proposes a scuba trade. Would you like this? We'll get to that today at 12:32 on Carson Anderson, 97.1. Doug Carson, Scott Anderson, 97.1 a ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Hey, still nothing to report from the Lions for people just flipping their radios on. It's trade deadline day. There was perhaps a little bit of a tell from Dan Campbell this morning because he was asked about offensive linemen and he answered it. He went so far as to say anybody that could help them up front, which is not saying we're good, which is exactly what he said when the topic of an edge rusher came up earlier in the year. So just thought we'd start to connect some dots there. I suspect that they probably already have a deal in place, to be honest with you, and have agreed to terms, and they're just waiting for the other team is waiting to make sure that they don't get any better offers. I'm not reporting it. That's what my gut is telling me, Gator. With that said, we'll pass along any breaking news. Now, there's a question of Scoobal. Steve Phillips, MLB Network, brought up Scoobal in a trade deadline, or not a trade deadline, a trade offseason trade proposal. And first of all, I'm starting to believe that he indeed will get traded. I think that we connected some dots last week the pending work stoppage that's out there looming. You've got, which is a year away. If Scoobal doesn't sign a new contract, he runs the risk of A, not getting paid for a while. Who knows how long work stoppages can last. Typically, they won't last for more than a few weeks, months. But they don't generally take away seasons. But maybe more of his concern is cost certainty measures being put in place at the far side of a CBA. So his money cannon contract might not be as big. So I think Scott Boras wants to get a deal done. I think his client wants to get a deal done this offseason. And my guess is any offer Detroit makes, he's just going to run to Boston or New York and say they'll offer more, in which case the Tigers would be compelled to trade him. Do you agree with this conclusion?
I think it's quite possible he gets traded, but I think if the offer isn't there that the Tigers like, then I don't think the Tigers have any problem beginning the season and going with Tarek Skubal. And then if they have to trade him at the trade deadline, okay. But at the same time, they're trying to win a World Series. And the best route for them to win a World Series next year is with Tarek Skubal. So I'm not thinking that for sure this is something that they're going to move him. I think that it's absolutely something they have to consider because they'll know pretty much for certain. They'll know if they have to, if they're going to lose him for nothing. If he's hell-bent on getting a free agency, they'll know. So that shouldn't be a problem.
All right, so here is Steve Phillips on MLB Network with his Scoobal trade proposal. Okay, so the two pitchers are Brandon Sproat and Jonah Tong. The last I saw, both highly regarded prospects, top five prospects in the Mets organization.
Yes, they are four. Tong is four, Sproat is five, and I believe Tong is in the top 100.
Okay. The position players were Luis Angel Acuna and Brett Beatty, both infielders, and both at the major league. They're both at the major league level, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And both relatively young. Beatty has some power.
Yeah, Beatty played 130 games for them. Acuna played 95. So Beatty is the intriguing one to me. 18 homers last year, hit 254, 748 OPS. There's some interest there.
Beatty, a couple years ago, was the Mets' number two ranked prospect in the organization as a third baseman outfielder, for what it's worth, back in 2023.
He's a left-handed hitter.
Yeah.
6'3", so decent frame, but he's left another left-handed bat. I'm not sure that's what they're into. But I think that and Acuña didn't do much at all this past season. In the minors, he's been a guy that has played decently in the minors.
Mm-hmm.
Speedy guy, little guy. But I don't. This trade doesn't wow me at all.
Doesn't it?
No. I get getting the two pitching prospects, and Tong is very highly regarded. Sproat, if you look at what he's done in the minors, been okay.
Both of them are. Their ETA at the major league level is now.
Yeah, because they both played for the Mets a little bit this year. They both pitched a little bit this year, and neither did anything special with them. But Tong had a really good year in the minors. So that's the prize. But if that's the prize, I'm giving up Tarek Skubal for that. And even in that, it's still unproven because it's not like he hit the ground running.
A year of Tarek Skubal, yes.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm not jazzed about this trade offer.
Aren't you?
No, not at all.
We made one up with the Yankees. You like that one better?
Much better.
Yeah, the problem is we're...
Yeah, the Yankees aren't going to do it.
No, I would say probably. No, I mean, they may.
Look, if you're the Tigers and the Mets come calling, the number one thing you're going to ask for is Nolan McClain. And I can understand why the Mets are like, it's not happening. Nolan McClain's their number one prospect. He pitched with them last year, and he was awfully good in the limited starts that he had, but he was awfully good. And they want to build around Nolan McClain, and adding Skubal would do that.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah, as when we talked about a Mets trade a couple of weeks ago, it was with that Mets podcast where all those guys were like, Tarek Skubal's going to be a Met. And they were like, anybody.
Tarp down while those guys were talking.
They were like, anybody but Nolan McClain. And I'm like, no. You don't get to dictate the terms. Nolan McClain. Would you rather have Skubal or McClain? You'd rather have Skubal. Now, would you rather have McClain in 10 years? Maybe. 5 years? Whatever. But Skubal, you know, you don't get him for free.
Now, the one thing that the Tigers desperately need is starting pitching. At least in terms of the minors, they have nothing in the minors starting pitching wise that I think you would look at their prospects and be like, oh, there's nothing really there to brag about in comparison to what they have offensively with guys like Max Clark and McGonagall and Max Anderson and Bryce Rainer and Briseño and all these guys. They've got hitters. What they don't have are pitchers. So would this help to replenish that by getting Tong and Sproat in return? Yeah, except these guys are ready to pitch in the majors, which is a good thing. But it's uncertain because neither one of them has a big track record of being great in the majors. One of them has a track record of being great in the minors. The other one, not so much. So to me, I'm a pass on this one. I'll take my chances with Tarek Skubal to try to win a World Series as opposed to make this trade because I'm afraid I'm going to lose him for nothing.
Fair enough. All right.
That's me.
Coming up next hour, more trade deadline stuff. Talk a little college football. Jared Goff. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, we have breaking news. ESPN, Adam Schefter, the first to report that the Colts are trading two first-round picks to the New York Jets for cornerback Sauce Gardner. Big move in the NFL. We'll talk about the ramifications of that. Things starting to percolate in the league. Are our Lions up next? It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.